Tango Tango Papa 1993, June 30th, 2017.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from north of Waco, Texas. So I was home for the past few days for time off, and I came back to work, I guess technically yesterday. I had to pick the load up yesterday, and then I was able to go back by home and spend the night, and then the load has two drops. The first one I unloaded earlier this afternoon at Lancaster, Texas, a Dallas suburb, and then the second drop delivers late tomorrow morning at I think it's at 10 o'clock at Schertz, Texas. S-C-H-E-R-T-Z, I think that's a German name for the town. It's a suburb of San Antonio. And so I stopped here at this. There's a truck stop. Well, there's a lot of truck stops around Waco, but I ended up stopping at one north of Waco because there was I had the Google Maps turned on as well as the Garmin, and the Google Maps came on and it told, you know, which is really good with traffic anymore. And it said that there was in 6 miles there were crashes. It just said crashes, the plural, that was causing a 15-minute delay, and I didn't really want to take a chance with that, so I decided I was passing a truck stop anyway. I decided I would go ahead and stop here and hopefully have better sailing tomorrow. So I'll get up relatively early in the morning and head on down towards San Antonio. It's still, I don't know, I can't see the GPS from here. I'll have to look. Hang on. Okay, it says 168 miles to go. So, anyway, so I came back to work. It's kind of hot here. It wasn't too bad at home. It was in the days I was home, it was in the 80s, mid to upper 80s. Now, here at north of Waco this afternoon, it's, I don't know, I think it's 96, 97 degrees, and it's actually kind of humid, so it's, then sun pretty much now, there's a few little clouds here and there, but the sun is pretty much out in full force, and it is pretty hot, actually, but it could be worse. It could be over 100 degrees, so it's not really that bad when it's, you know, at this time of year, it's just high 90s in this part of Texas. Now, I'm sure if you go further south, it probably is in the hundreds, but typically this time of year, even at like at Waco or Dallas, it's going to be over 100 degrees. But this year has, you know, I guess in the other parts of the country, it's been hot. You know, the desert, I guess. You know, they keep talking about Phoenix being 120 degrees. Well, I've driven through there before when it was like 115, 117, which that's pretty hot. So, you know, or you get out there in the desert in the Southwest and, you know, and depending, you know, I remember, I think I was in California. I don't remember exactly where I was at in California. It was in the desert, and it was over 100 degrees at night. So, you know, it was and my air conditioner wasn't working. Everything was hotter. You know, it was actually warmer than my body temperature was. So that was kind of unpleasant. So, needless to say. So, not a whole lot has been going on. Just kind of the same old work and what have you. I did, while I was home, end up kind of breaking down finally and buying a drone. Ended up getting, there's a DJI is a big drone maker, and they had, I guess it was released in May, the DJI Spark, and it's a pretty small drone. It's got a really good, you know, 1080p camera on it, and it's super, the video is super stable. It has, you know, the video is stabilized mechanically with a gimbal, and so it works pretty well. And, you know, it's not as versatile as a bigger drone, but I've never played with drones before, so I'm in the process of kind of really getting my feet wet with it. So, kind of interesting thing to play with. Let's see. So, otherwise, there's not really, there hasn't been a whole lot going on. I continue to kind of ignore the news. A lot of it's fake. I'm seeing lots of headlines now. CNN has been stung by Project Veritas. You know, where the guy, what's that guy's name, Jim O'Keefe or something like that, he makes, you know, he and others make these videos where they, you know, they you know, they're kind of it's sort of a hidden video thing, but they get these different people, including now CNN journalists, to brag about the fake news and how they're manipulating things and et cetera, et cetera. And we all knew it was happening, but they're, you know, now they're admitting it in their own words. So that's pretty powerful. I guess CNN's ratings, I saw, or there was at least a headline that, on Drudge, that their ratings had plummeted. So this all has to happen. The left is beginning to kind of really more and more eat itself, as I kind of predicted, because you can't have that kind of hatred without it going, it has to go somewhere. If you've got that kind of hatred, you've got to project it onto somebody else, make someone else the problem, and then, you know, then you can kind of, you know, then it kind of becomes justified in your own mind. But if you hate without a cause, and that's actually a phrase from the Bible, Jesus says, for they hated me without a cause. What does that mean? It's interesting, because they're hating without a cause. Nobody's really on the, you know, especially Trump is who they're hating. He's not giving them a reason to hate back. I mean, not a reasonable reason to hate back. And so they're just hating and hating and hating, and they're trying to get him to respond, and they think, you know, but whatever they try to say, he's responding properly to them, and their hate isn't going anywhere. It's not having the effect that they want, and it's not causing him to self-implode, because that's usually what people try to do, whether you realize it or not. Even the kid in the supermarket checkout line is trying to cause his parents to, his or her parents to implode, and and, you know, unfortunately, oftentimes it's successful, but and then they end up getting their way. But in this case, the left, you know, it's primarily the left, although there's some on the right as well, people running the Republican Party, some of them, like, you know, people high up in there, like McCain and some other ones. You know, so those people are being forced to, show, you know, their real identity. And they're really starting to kind of eat each other. So you got all this infighting that's, you know, and it's not, you know, you laugh or whatever, you know, but it's happening. Someone pointed out to me it's kind of happening in this so-called gay community. You know, whereas in the past they would just welcome anybody to their silly pride marches that would show up. They would welcome anyone, and now they're actually beginning to exclude other. You know, there's certain factions of them that want to exclude other groups because they're not, quote-unquote, not gay enough, whatever the hell that means. So, and then I saw another headline. There was actually a murder that took place because these people were arguing over it. And one of them actually shot the other one and killed them. So more of this is going to happen, and it's actually a necessary process. I know people always want to just kind of short circuit whatever it is, and somehow you're going to have a magical cure that's going to you know, kind of be the magic bullet that's just going to take all of that out, and everything's going to be hunky-dory. Well, it doesn't work that way. I'm sorry. We actually have to go through whatever it is we have to go through. Both, you know, on the left and the right. So, and just, I had another thought the other day. You know, the people, if you listen to the people on the left, they think that Donald Trump is, you know, he's potential Adolf Hitler, blah, blah, blah. When in fact, you know, you want to, if you're really objective, you know who the potential Hitler is. His name's George Soros. There's your potential Hitler. But they see him as a kind of an angel in shining light, and they're seeing the world backwards. Wrong is right, right is wrong, up is down, down is up, left is right, right is left, etc., etc. They're seeing the world from a morals perspective. They're seeing it backwards, and it's impossible to argue with them. As I've said many times, you can kind of point little facts out to them, and that may or may not kind of be able to help, but. You know, they're one thing to remember. They're kind of holding conflicting thoughts. You know, they got, you know, they sort of hold beliefs that are really conflicting, and some of them are actually kind of going insane. And so, you know, now there's we've had plenty of. And there always have been, you know, like plenty of workplace shootings and different kind of, you know, violent things. You had, I guess, a week or more ago, you had the extreme leftist that was going to, you know, that tried to kill the congressman. As they were, you know, it was like a congressional baseball thing, and he tried to kill the, he's trying to kill the congressman or whatever. And, of course, the congressional police actually were able to shoot him before he could do any. I think he did cause some serious injuries. I don't think anybody died because, you know, but he was hoping that they would. So there's a lot of this kind of thing that's going on, and but these people have to, you know, at the end of the day, Trump is not giving them the reaction they're looking for, as much as they'd like to claim that he is. He's not giving them a reaction that they're looking for, and they've still got their hatred. They're just boiling with rage, and it is going to get them. Don't hold on to it. If you've got resentment, you don't think that you can just kind of keep it buried, or somehow you're going to turn a wrong into a right and make it useful. Because it's really an insidious thing, and it just a little bit of it is all it takes to. It's kind of like being a little bit pregnant. A little bit of it is all it, you know. If you hold on to it, it's in the end it's deadly, and so. But there's a lot of people that are just boiling over at this point. And remember, the rage has nowhere to go, and it will eat them alive, you know, in various ways. Whether they're infighting, or, you know, you could end up with, you know, weird diseases, etc. Fatal diseases. So, anyway, I have a couple of... I've got three different voice files. And the first one, I've got two from Joel and one from Mark. I have one that I'm not going to play from Jeremy. It was just a short one. Jeremy was informing me that he couldn't play my podcast on Stitcher. He said he played part of one, the last one, the latest one, and then when he went back to play it again, he couldn't get it. And then he tried playing older episodes, and those wouldn't play either. And thank you, Jeremy, for making me aware of that. I started looking at the problem myself, and it was kind of a really strange problem. I didn't really change anything on my website on the back end of the WordPress. I didn't change anything. Now, for quite a few years, I've had this plugin, a WordPress plugin called Zemanta, Zemanta. And for whatever reason, lately, Zemanta, in the past few days, started injecting redirect on the files, you know, because you have the MP3 file and you have the exact, you know, location of the MP3 file, on, you know, the name of the file, and where, you know, where to look, what server it's on. And so it was inserting an extra thing in their Podshow. Now, if, you know, you've been listening for a long time, you remember that Podshow was one of the early servers that I was on. It was connected with Adam Curry. And Podshow has long since, you know, it turned into Mevio, and then it went out of business. It bit the dust. And so, but for some reason, this Zemanta started injecting this Podshow thing in there, this URL. And the only thing I can, why would that happen? Maybe they had a, because there's been all kinds of website attacks, different hacking attacks that are going on, you know, in various servers all around the world. It's maybe, and this is just my conjecture, it's possible that the Zemanta was hacked, and maybe they restored something from a really old backup to get it up and running again. I don't know. But that's the only thing that I could think of that would cause that. So in the meantime, it started causing some serious problems. For a while there, you couldn't even get to my website at all. And so my friend Michael Dell, that lives up in Michigan, was able to fix it for me. So thank you, Michael, if you're listening. Really appreciate that, because I could probably fix it myself if I would, you know, just really knew more about WordPress. But I've learned enough about WordPress just to kind of put the thing together, and not really, I've never really dug into the guts of it to try to, you know, customize it very much or troubleshoot it. And quite frankly, I've never really had too much trouble with it. It's just once it's set up, it's continued to work. The biggest problem I've had is going from one version to another, you know, because they do have version updates, and sometimes those can go a little bit haywire, and you kind of have to need to know what you're doing in order to repair it. So, so anyway, thank you, Michael. I've got, like I say, I've got two audio files. So two are from Joel, and then one is from Mark. Japan. So we're going to play the one, I think the one from Mark is actually the oldest one. So I'm going to play the one from Mark first. So here is Mark.
Hey, Tom, this is Mark. I've been enjoying your recent podcast. I wanted to tell you a story about what happened to me last week. My washing machine finally gave out. So what had happened, I heard some squeal. I went to the laundry closet and tried to see what was the matter. I noticed that the drum inside the washing machine was not spinning as it should, and it was making a squeal. And so I think a motor that has the belt that wraps around the drum was basically dragging against that drum that would not spin, so I knew at that moment it needed fixed. Well, my washing machine is a Whirlpool. It's 20 years old, so I decided it's probably not worth fixing, and I was very pleased and impressed that it lasted me 20 years. I expected it to last about 15 years, so I think I've been banking that time. So anyway, it was time to shop for a brand new washing machine, and I decided to go ahead and shop for a new dryer as well, because I like to have those things in pairs. It makes sense to me. If one breaks, I don't want 3 months later for the dryer to break and me have to shop for that too. So they probably work best together. So shop for both of them together. So that's what we did. So I went to tell my wife about the news, and she opened up her Mac and went to Safari, and we started to look for washers and dryers. And when you haven't had one in 20 years, well, you got some things to learn. Because these things have all kinds of new features that they didn't have back then, and they connect with smartphones and things like that, and their prices are, I don't know if they're vastly different. I can't remember what I paid for these things back then, but I feel like they cost around the same feature for feature. But there's all kind of new features, and there's new controls. They seem very easy to use. It does seem to treat the amount of water more efficiently. It treats the amount of heat more efficiently. And so there's a pair of Samsungs that I was very interested in, and I noticed that the dryer could actually steam close. And it's interesting that it actually requires a connection to the water supply. And it's the first time I ever considered connecting a dryer to the water. So I couldn't wait to use that. So we didn't really decide on the washing machine at that moment. I just wanted to keep shopping. So we just started the process. And after that, I was scrolling down my Facebook feed, and then I noticed something in my Facebook feed. What do you think I saw? I saw an ad for a Samsung washing machine, and I thought that was very curious and very suspicious. And I say suspicious because, well, number one, I saw that on my phone, which was not connected in any way to my wife's Mac on her Safari. So, you know, I can understand if I search for those things on my phone Safari that the integration there may detect and connect and present the ad based on searches and other apps. But if it's on a different PC across the room, not connected, what else could it possibly be using? Is it using the microphone in my phone? Don't know, but I'm suspicious. So I didn't think too much of it. I just thought it was very interesting. So the next day, I was at work, went out for lunch, and went to the local Lowe's store, and I was looking at the Samsung washing machines they have on their floor models, because I like to look at these things, touch and feel, and kind of read the controls up front and talk to the sales guys just to, you know, I like to get a little bit more information for big spending items like that. So I did that, talked to the sales guy, and he showed me some things, showed me the accessories I had to buy, and showed me the slot for connecting to the Samsung smart home system. And he explained to me something like, you open up the slot, you put your phone in a position in that slot, and then open this app, and it'll wirelessly display some of the diagnostics that are going on with the washing machine, and same thing with the dryer. I thought that seems kind of strange, but it's interesting. I'll keep learning about it. Why do I have to put my phone in the slot anyway? So, I go back to the car, crank the car, turn on the air conditioning, scroll through my Facebook feed, and what did I find? I found another ad. And this time the ad was a Lowe's ad and the ad was for a Samsung washing machine. And I said, aha, why is that showing up in my Facebook feed? Again, a day later, and just at the right time, just as I walked out of the store, is it listening to my mic? Well, that was hard to answer. The reason I say that is because in some of these stores, there's lots of beacon technology available, where the beacons are placed in strategic locations for strategic purposes. Some stores like CVS or Rite Aid or Walgreens, they'll have beacons in their store kind of strong and center that sort of connect up with NFC, or they can track your position, on a geofenced map or on a local Wi-Fi.
Okay, let me interrupt. Now, the first thing that she described, she opened Safari on the Mac and she was looking at the, and you ended up looking at Samsung washers and dryers, and then you were on your phone and you happened to see Facebook and you had an ad, obviously targeted right there in Facebook. So what that tells me, probably, I don't know that they would listen to the microphone, although they could. It would seem more logical that you've got some tracking cookies on the computer, on her Mac, because there are malware things, there are tracking things now for Mac. And so I would think that you've probably also looked at Facebook on your Mac, on her Mac. And so there's probably some stuff that just kind of phones home and kind of tells Facebook, hey, this is what they're looking at. These are the kind of things they're looking at. Do we have any relevant ads to serve? And of course, Facebook is quote unquote free, put the quotation marks around it. But it's based on selling you stuff. It's based on it's based on ads. That's where they get the revenue from. So that would be my explanation for that. I don't think they're actually listening to your microphone, although they could. I think it's more likely that they're looking at what she did with the computer, where you were looking up what you were looking, products you were looking up on the computer. Hey, we have a relevant ad. Let's just start serving that ad up to the matching Facebook account. And I think that's what probably happened. Now, when you actually went to Lowe's, I think they were looking at the location of your phone. Because again, the tracking, especially since you opened up Facebook in your... I think you said you went to the parking lot and you opened up Facebook at Lowe's. So it knows where you're at, because it's using the position of the phone, probably the GPS position, if not Wi-Fi or both. It knows where you're at, and it's already has a history of you looking up Samsung washers and dryers. So they're just making a really educated guess, putting two and two together to try to come up with four at exactly the right time. So I think that's what's happened. I don't know that it's the microphone, although it could be, because these services have been caught in the past, kind of listening into the microphone or whatever. And so that's always possible. But I think it's probably more likely a cookie on her computer combined with your location near Lowe's. And so I get all kinds of things. I guess I'm immune to that kind of stuff now, because I'm just so used to whenever I look something up, then I start seeing ads pop up everywhere for whatever I was looking for or looking at. And I just kind of, at first it was sort of startling, but that's been going on for so long now that I really just sort of expect it to happen. So I'm kind of immune to it now, because I see the ads and, I've already, I either looked at whatever it was or I bought whatever it was. What's interesting is when I look up something for somebody else, say my parents or somebody else are looking for something that I would never buy, but they want it for whatever reason, or they want to look something up for whatever reason, and I look it up, they're looking for information, I look it up, and then I start seeing ads for whatever it was I looked up that I'll never buy. So it's, I don't know, I'm just kind of immune to it now, so... Oh well, I rather doubt that they're listening in on your microphone, although they could. More likely, not to belabor the point, probably a cookie, that's a tracking cookie that's kind of looking at what you're doing, where you're going, what products specifically you're looking at, and then... kind of reporting that back, and then when you open Facebook in the parking lot at the store, it knew you were at Lowe's, and and then they're just putting this educated guess together. You probably went to Lowe's because maybe you're looking for Samsung washer and dryer. So anyway, that's what my theory is. So back to Mark.
And just the proximity alone will allow communication to occur, where it'll send you text messages or notifications, or ads on apps or things like that, showing conveying information about their store or their products or their services. So that's something that Apple promotes, not to consumer, but they do to businesses, and other phone suppliers as well. So that exists, beacon technology. And I can imagine that might have been what happened at Lowe's. Big ticket items such as washers and dryers, especially the ones that are up front in their aisles, may have that type of thing and just provide that prompt to get you to buy. I don't suspect they would put those beacons on other items in their store that are low priced. So maybe that's what that was. But I still thought that was very curious. 2 days in a row, one connected to nothing and the other one possibly connected to a beacon. But let's just say the beacon wasn't there and it was listening in to my microphone. Very interesting, and I can't tell you how comfortable or uncomfortable I am with that. I can see the advantages of it. If you're truly curious about something and want to learn more about it, certainly the software is capable, certainly the hardware is capable of doing that type of thing. But another side of me is not very comfortable with it. I understand that I have a super sensory device in my pocket that is able to detect proximity, that is able to listen to noises. It is able to reveal its position on a map. It is able to reveal its acceleration and its position, its orientation, those kind of things. It can probably tell if it's dark or light outside. Maybe the camera can turn on. I don't know. Who knows what? I mean, there's no light on my phone, on the face of my phone, that says the camera's on or not. As long as there's power to the phone, it's certainly capable of receiving photons. So who knows? This thing could be listening to conversations. It could listen to me say the word Samsung. It could listen to me say the word washing machine. It could possibly listen to my voice inflections to determine curiosity or desperation, and just use that, process through some algorithms, and linked up to a library of available advertisements for certain products, and throw it up on a newsfeed. Not hard to imagine that that's possible, and perhaps Facebook is doing that. So I want to know the answer to the question: are they doing that? How do I find out? Well, I don't think I can find that out because there's no instructions for anything in Facebook, but there are some switches in the settings where you can turn certain aspects of it on and off, or I don't know if you can slide control anything to make it less sensitive to certain things. But I did search through there, and I couldn't really tell because some of their settings are vague. I couldn't tell what might be able to disable that if it were actually a feature. So I didn't try to change anything. But since Facebook hasn't revealed that that is a true feature, that it's listening through a mic, then I don't imagine they would want to create a setting for it. One thing that I like to do in my apps when they update, and I do automatically update my apps when it's plugged in and charging and on a strong Wi-Fi signal, is allowed to update the apps. But I do like to dive in and read some of the app to the change notifications, the change apps. You can kind of expand on your list of updates. You can hit a little triangle that expands the verbiage and read what the change notes are. And a lot of apps are really, really good at conveying what has changed, what's new, what the improvements are. You know, a lot of them do safe, like things like bug fixes, just to kind of be generic. But Facebook, they do something differently because they have a process where they roll out these changes once a week, nearly. So, I mean, if you look at the versions, there are high number of versions, and they do this all the time. And I read an article that because of that, there's so many changes that are baked into each release, and they're at so many different levels in their stack that it's impossible for them to clearly describe meaningfully what those changes are. And I can understand that. You know, for things that are deep in code at a low position in the code stack, that these changes just won't be understandable to users. But, you know, certainly things like UI changes or UX changes, user interface or user experience, those kind of things would be understandable to users, but they still don't reveal those either. They just allow you to discover them. You know, so if an app update happens and you dive back into Facebook, then you're just going to have to find something different in that version of the app versus what you had before, and that might reveal the change. You know, but what if you haven't used it often, or you have used it often, and the actual interface change is just something very subtle, and it's something very specific, and you just don't cross it until the next three updates. It was there three updates before, you didn't find it because it didn't reveal itself in that specific application, but suddenly you cross it and you just notice it. So these things do creep in, one release at a time, and they may actually set the table for some certain changes that aren't really revealed until several releases later. In other words, they can have a release next week that's, you know, deep code that'll eventually enable this feature, and then a week later put in some more code at a higher level in the stack to, you know, set the table for libraries or whatever, but nothing's going to call those libraries. And then the week after that, they'll start to make the calls for the libraries, and they'll put in all the other triggers. And then the week later, they'll put in the actual graphics and things like that, or whatever can dynamically make graphics. And then the change after that, they'll actually implement the total feature that encompasses all those changes together. They don't even reveal that, but that kind of release is possible. So they probably do it. So it's not unimaginable that they would not implement this type of capability for displaying ads, you know, listening and processing speech and interpreting it against algorithms, and, you know, having a large library of ads available that they can on the fly throw up in your newsfeed at your next thumb swipe. And that, you know, that's what happened to me. You know, I swiped my thumb and there was the ad for that one thing that I needed at that one time. You know, never before in my whole time that I've owned an iPhone, since iPhone 3G, have I ever said the word Samsung washing machine. I never needed one, and I never saw an ad for one until the moment that I needed it. It's very, very curious. So I'm not very comfortable with it. if they do this too much, then I'll consider deleting the app. And you know how much I use Facebook. I know we're friends on Facebook, and you probably see how much I put on here every day. I'll either put it to a stop, or I'll slow it down, or I will cut the app and just do it on the on the Safari, where I might have some controls on that to limit its access to some of the deeper components of the phone, and you know, hopefully disable that microphone listening. I'm not even sure if that's capable if I did that through Safari, so who knows. But you know, these are a lot of engineers out in Silicon Valley that have nothing to do. You know, once if you think about the progression of technology, you know, these companies out there, they've established a lot of capability into these social apps. Very deep, very far, very wide, lots of functions. It's already there, it works very well. So the changes to these have to be very subtle, almost to make them a little bit more organic, but behind the scenes, they're still skeletal. So there's very little work to do in those aspects of basic capability to improve it. So they're hired, they're on staff, they have to have something to do. They may think of these types of extra capabilities and apply them just because they have a job. They got money coming in the bank. They're able to pay their engineers. They want to keep them on staff in case they have something else revolutionary in the next 5 years. So give them something to do in the next 4 years. And listening to your phone and making ads is one of them. And certainly the ad makers are interested because they want to be able to sell. They want to sell ads and, you know, increase the stock price and all of that. So, I mean, and I don't blame them. They're a corporation. This is what they do. But, you know, and of course it affects the users. I'm a user, and now I have this thing that is not telling me that it's listening to me, but it actually might be, and that's concerning, and I can't say that I like it. I don't know if, you know, if when I look at my kids, you know, they're growing up with this. This is an expectation for them. This will be their life experience. So they may not be as concerned as I am, but that, I think that's a different subject. But it is of interest. So, but because of that, Facebook has a reason not to stop that type of feature, because, you know, over time, people will become comfortable with it. Enough people that they can still support a population of users that's satisfactory to their investors. Anyway, so I thought this is all curious. Now, let's just assume that they are indeed listening to everything, that this is what's going on. Okay. If that's true, then imagine, if you will, and this is a little bit bizarre, just imagine, if you will, if you could peek in to their library of collected audio and segregate it and research it to understand what they have. And what I mean by that is let's assume they can only listen to audio when they have the Facebook app on. They can't listen to it when it's off. You're in some other app. So if it's on, what are they listening to? Are they listening to people talk? Are they listening to the car engine and the blinker and the windshield wiper? In other words, are people reading while they're driving? Or are they listening to, let's just say, the bathroom noises? So you know for sure people sit in the bathroom and pick up their phone and start browsing while they're doing their business. And I wouldn't be surprised if that was the majority of their audio content. Now, these engineers who have nothing to do in Silicon Valley are sitting around trying to expand this capability, and they have, you know, more than 50% of bathroom content in their audio library, and they decide, well, that's what we have. Let's do something with it. What if one day you may be an Amazon Prime customer, and maybe that's linked up and integrated with Facebook somehow, that you just suddenly have a box of toilet paper on your front door and $17 depleted from your bank account? You know, what if one day you have a box of Preparation H on the front doorstep and $8 depleted from your bank account, just because of the types of noises that they're hearing and how they're comparing that against algorithms that suggest that you might need some Preparation H? You know, and some people, obviously, I would be distraught if it was doing that. That app, the phone would be gone. But, you know, kids 15 years from now might see that as such an amazing convenience that they're super impressed with it. They don't have to go out of the store and be embarrassed by buying Preparation H. It just shows up on their door and it's magic. You know, that would be so easy to do and it would be such a convenience. And if I were an engineer, I would at least model that, if not deploy that. So that's what we're dealing with, I think, here in the future, is these types of issues. It's a little bit crazy. Anyway, I wanted to know what you think about it, what your comfort level with it is, or if you have any other experiences like that. And I will talk to you later.
Thank you, Mark. So, like I say, I really don't think that they have, that they're listening in on the microphone. Although they could be, you know, that's always possible. But I think it's a combination of some reporting software on your wife's Mac, cookie of some sort, that's kind of saying, you know, reporting back to Facebook, hey, they looked at Samsung washers and dryers, and then whenever you were actually at the Lowe's store and you went back out in the parking lot and brought up Facebook, it, of course, they know that you're, you know, because Facebook is, it does use your location, unless you turn location services off on your phone completely, then it couldn't, obviously, but most people have the location services turned on because they use them. And so Facebook knew that, and it decided, you know, it's going to, display the ad again. Or it could have just been displaying the ad again because it displayed it before. Because, you know, I could see where certain advertisements, if they knew you actually looked at something like a Samsung washer and dryer, that they would probably have a deal with the advertising agency to go ahead and continue to display like so many ads or ads for so many days following that. I would say that's probably more plausible than them trying to listen for keywords. Although they could. But, you know, in the real world, microphones, especially telephone microphones, you know, people have these phones in their pockets and you get all of the ruffling noises of the clothing. And if you're driving in the car, then of course you get the background drone of the engine combined with the tires on the pavement can cause the grief for the microphone, even, you know, if you're trying to use it sometimes. It'll end up inducing distortion, and then it, you know, even if you're trying to, let's say you're trying to use a voice assistant while you're driving, if you've got really heavy noise, road noise, then it has a hard time understanding you. So there's all kinds of problems with just audio in general, and then if they were trying to clandestinely record audio, because it's a lot of the time it's not the most ideal situation. So I think it's more plausible that it was just a reporting cookie on the computer that reported back, hey, you're looking at Samsung washer and dryer, and we'll just start serving ads up. So I think that's probably what happened. And personally, like I say, I've seen that so much that I just kind of ignore it now. That kind of thing happens to me constantly. And I don't even look at the Facebook ads, really. I see the Facebook ads sometimes, but typically I just... I haven't been looking at Facebook all that much lately, but if I do and I happen to see an ad, then typically I just go kind of right past it. Same way with if I'm on a computer and I'm in a different website from what I'm looking at, and I see these, let's say I'm on look at drudgereport.com, and I'm seeing ads for things that I looked up on Amazon. So that's, you know, it's pretty a common thing. Just if I open up the Google app, the Google Now app, I'm seeing, you know, they're serving up on the phone version, at least, you know, what they're doing, they're serving it when you open the Google Now app to search. Down below the search bar, you've got stories. And it'll say, we see that you like, you know, here's some stories that you'll probably like from your, you know, and you can tell them, yes, I like them, or no, I don't like them. And, you know, and usually I like them because they're topics that I seem to be interested in. And they seem to have nailed that. So, I don't know. I don't, like I say, at first it can seem to be a little disconcerting, but I just kind of ignore it now, and sometimes they might actually show something that is actually relevant. Once in a great while, they'll end up showing something that's relevant. But more often than not, it's maybe something I've already purchased, and it's kind of after the fact. So, but anyway, thank you, Mark, for the voice comment. So now I'll start with Joel. Got two comments from Joel, so here is Joel.
Hey, Tom. It's Joel McLaughlin here. Just thought I'd say hi. Just got back from vacation yesterday, but staycation. I didn't go nowhere. Just kind of stayed home, did some cleanup, cleaned my office up. But one of the things I've been kind of involved in, at least locally here, is there's a hyper-local, well, I don't know if I would call it hyper-local, but a local social network. And it really is probably more than local. It's called Nextdoor. All right. So basically, once you sign up for it. And it's basically based only, I would say, probably within your section of the city or within your region or something like that. Mine appears to have people on it from not just my direct neighborhood, but all over the south side of Columbus. And just noticed some interesting things with it. You can definitely tell the section of town that has the more well-to-do in it. Although what's kind of amazing here is the section of town that I'm going to mention here, well, I'm not even going to mention the name of the town, but the area of town, I should say. It's in Columbus. It's just south of Durbin Village, actually. But if you look at it, it shows you in the app itself how many are in each section, how many are signed up. And most are below 1,000 people. And this one area of town which seems to generate the most volume of posts is probably the one that has the largest amount of people in it, 1,500 people. By the way, this is not a very large area, to be honest, 1,500 people. So it's probably also the densest of at least the southern portion of Columbus, which is where I live. All right. And you can really tell the kind of people that live there by just the things that they complain about. And yes, most of it is complaining. So if you're not into seeing people complain, or you're not into having a conversation on how to make things better, then that's something you'd probably want to stay away from. So if you look at the people, There was one post in there that generated probably the largest amount of interchanges within the last week. And that was one where it looks like someone had a Ring doorbell, which I'm eventually going to buy one of those too. But they had a Ring doorbell and they posted a picture of somebody who was knocking on their door. And yeah, it was a girl that basically was dressed up in a goth outfit. And immediately the guy who wrote the posting thought she was sketchy. Right. Supposedly she was knocking on doors, asking for money, trying to raise money for a class trip or something to that effect. All right. Which for me, unless I talk to the person a bit more, I'm not going to assume that she's not telling the truth. Unless somebody gives me a reason to not trust them, then, I mean, I'm going to be careful. I'm going to take precautions, of course, but I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, that person's bad. You know, apparently that's not the way you should be, according to the group of people I was having the conversation with. But what this shows is that in this country, I mean, I was raised to give people the benefit of the doubt. All right. Plus, I'm also of the opinion that sometimes you do have to kind of go out of your comfort zone to help people. Because I'm into helping people. I want to help people. You know, so if somebody is, not 9 times out of 10, I don't have the cash in my pocket because I usually don't carry cash for other reasons. But like the one thing here was like, if somebody hit you up for some money, would you give it to them? And I don't ever worry about, if I had the money to spare, I see someone standing in the corner or something, I might either give them money, or better yet, if I'm going to the restaurant, I will go in the restaurant, order some extra food, then give it to that person. I don't care what they do with it. I don't place qualifications on the money. The only time I would ever consider doing that would be if it's a taxpayer funded program, because everybody has to pay for those things. So, but I just found it really interesting in just kind of the distrust there. I mean, there might be reasons for your distrust, but you don't have to sit there people just got so negative on that post. And, they're just like, they're acting like this girl, and it was a girl, it's just the sketchiest person ever. And I'm like, no, this is just someone who's knocking on a door. She might have had that, evil motives, but you don't really know that. That's why things like, I take my protection in my own hands, of course, but I'll still talk to people, even if I think they're a little sketchy. I answer my door, and it was the middle of the night, or even like after 8:30 in the evening, I would probably say, I would probably be asking questions. Well, what school do you go to? Things like that. And before I post her picture all over a social network, which Nextdoor kind of is, I would be like, maybe this isn't the best way to do this, or whatever. So, yeah, it just shows that this country is, it's really, they're going the wrong direction. It's not, it's funny where people want to help people with government programs. But to be brutally honest, people forgot that we don't need a government program to help people. We can help them on our own. We don't have to, make everybody do it. People will do it. But more and more, probably people aren't, especially if you're a liberal person, then people feel like, well, I already pay my taxes, so the government should help. Well, no. the government can't help everyone. That's why I'm fully liberal with what I do with my money. If somebody needs help, I'll help them. If some guy's standing on the corner asking for a few bucks, I'll give him a couple dollars if I have it, of course. If I don't have it, well, I might buy him extra food or something like that, which I've done that before. This is when my son was in school, it was colder. Actually, it was really cold. It was, close to winter. And I took my normal lunch break and didn't have much to eat in the house. So I decided I was going to go grab us some Burger King. I checked with the wife and she got her what she wanted. And I drove past this person who's standing on the street corner shivering. It was actually two people. Looked like a man and a wife. And they actually did, I've got a real good eye for people. I see people standing on the corner and I can tell you probably within 5 seconds on if that person's a real person, doing it or not. Usually the key giveaway is their shoes. If the shoes are nicer than what I have on my feet, that's a dead giveaway. But anyway, these people looked, as far as I'm concerned, they looked legitimate. Possibly not have been, but I don't really care. So I'm going through the drive-in at the Burger King, which is real close to my house, and I ordered my wife and I ordered mine, and I ordered a Happy Meal. Just because, it's not much, but I figured, whatever. I just got a hamburger, like a cheeseburger and some fries and a Coke for them. I pull in where they were standing is right next to CVS. So I pull into the lot behind where they were standing. I get out of the car and I hand them the meal. The woman standing with the guy, they both of course said thank you, but the woman there practically broke down in tears. And I can tell I probably got them their only meal that they had all day that day. So, it wasn't much, it wasn't, probably wasn't enough, but, I did that, and that I'll do that all the time. So if everybody did that, imagine what kind of world we live in. So anyway, talk to you later, Tom. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're staying safe out on the roads there. See you.
Hey, Tom, I'm finally trying to make some headway in my podcast. To your last show, I'm not really commenting on the show, but I actually just wanted to share with you a movie I just watched the other day. I rented it for like a buck. I had like a credit on Google Play or something. But I watched the movie called The Founder, which is basically the story of Ray Kroc, who started McDonald's. Well, he didn't start McDonald's. He kind of stole it, really. But very interesting movie, I think you would enjoy. I can tell you one little item I'll tell you about it is that it does, like most of the movies that deal with historical facts, play around with the facts a little bit. But other than that, great film. Great film, and the end of it was pretty much what you'd expect. So even though they played some loose with some of the facts, just had some really interesting things in it.
Thank you, Joel. So I'm glad you reminded me of the movie The Founder. I had heard of that, and I kind of forgot completely about it. When I was home the other day, I stopped at Redbox, and I got the Blu-ray of Arrivals. I think The Arrivals or just Arrivals. And it turns out I'd actually seen that. I saw that with a friend in the theater a few months ago. And, you know, it's kind of a sci-fi type thing where the, you know, these alien ships come in and people, you know, the human beings are trying to communicate with them. And, you know, the aliens turn out to be giant octopuses. So it turns out I'd seen it already, but it was where I watched the whole thing again and kind of picked up a little bit more of the things that I missed in the theater. But if I would have remembered about The Founder, I'm sure that must be available on Redbox. And eventually it may be available, you know, like on Netflix or wherever. So, but that, you know, that does sound interesting. Those kind of stories are usually interesting, and they do typically end up playing sort of fast with the facts, you know, and they, you know, do it for dramatization purposes. But, anyway, Joel's got another comment here, so once again, here's Joel.
Hey, Tom, it's Joel. Wanted to share with you that I did get to see your last solar video on YouTube. Pretty interesting. I like how that your system, well, pretty much when you're not at home, which is a lot for your case. Other than, I mean, I don't know if your heat uses gas, but the rest of your stuff, your computers that you have running at home and your air conditioning and stuff, basically you're getting that for free, which is pretty cool. Pretty dang cool. But that's not really why I'm boxing, although I did want to share that with you. One of the things that's just boggling my mind now, I don't know how much of the YouTube's anti-SJW stuff that you watch. I watch a fair bit of it because my favorite is they're just tearing it apart. To me, it's like listening to No Agenda in that they tear apart some of the stuff that you see. But I have a friend who is a very liberal person, and she shared this post that was, of course, from Huffington Post, about how people don't care for people anymore. And I'm like, and then of course in the post that Huffington had a picture of our Republican senators and leaders. So, and this got me thinking, and my reply to her was, you know, hey, this, she and the Huffington Post had a very simplistic rule, or a simplistic view of how politics works, in that they assume that because a Republican senator will vote against about the ACA or won't be able to do a full, what they think is the ideal plan, which is leave what Obama and the previous administration had put into effect, which has really now been proven to not work. There's lots of insurance companies are pulling out, you know, so, you know, that's really, I mean, the more and more as it goes along, ACA is not working. It's not affordable. Not even for people who do get credits. It's still not affordable. I'm sorry. Just, it's not affordable. So, but they assume that if you don't vote for these social programs that you're not compassionate. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Just because somebody doesn't vote for that program doesn't mean that they're not a compassionate person. Maybe them voting against it means they're more compassionate than you are. And then she says, well, I didn't post this to, I no, actually, so you said, well, I disagree. I didn't post this to debate, so I won't be responding. And I'm like, okay. Then why did you share this? And she said, well, she wanted to share because of play. I'm like, well, if you want to do that, just go ahead and post it on Twitter and ignore the tweets coming back. Don't post it to Facebook. You know, why do you post things on Facebook? When you post things on Facebook, do you assume that nobody's going to respond to them? You know, that's why I think their views are just very, very simplistic. You know, they think their way is the highway, and I completely messed up what I was going to say there earlier, but. But they think their way is the highway, and no other way is perfect. So, but so far as the anti-SJW comment earlier, there was a thing. Anita Sarkeesian. I don't know how much you know about her, but she was at VidCon and basically called you know, there was like three rows of anti-SJW YouTubers in the session, and all they were doing was sitting there. And she points one of them out. Sargon of Akkad was the name of the guy. That's what he goes by on YouTube. I think his real name's Carl, but and he's, I believe he's from England. So, and he was called by her. He never said one word to her. And the only thing he's actually done is criticized her on YouTube. He has about 30 videos out of his 900 some videos that criticized her. All right. And that's really all he did. All right. He didn't harass her or anything. But she called him a piece of shit, called him human garbage, and basically violated the terms, you know, basically violated VidCon rules. And now what's kind of funny is the Vlog Brothers, Hank and I forget the other one, but the Greens, but they're both brothers that are prominent YouTubers that started VidCon, really didn't do anything about it. All right. Sargon has since been on Joe Rogan. I don't know if you listen to Joe Rogan at all. I listened to, he had probably a good long 3 hours. Very interesting show there. I'm actually most of the way through it. But the thing here is that they don't really want to debate. They just want to call people out. They want to call you a misogynist if you don't believe how they believe, which is just wrong. And they wonder why. And Sargon basically would call American liberals not liberal but progressive. And he proclaims himself a liberal. He doesn't live in America. He lives in the UK over in England. So, but I just found that really interesting. And if you really look at it, that's exactly what it is. And I think in Anita's case, to bring it back to you, to what you would say, is that she resents when she's criticized. So, yeah, it goes to what you say. It's all about resentment.
Okay, well, thank you again, Joel. I've heard of Seth Rogen. I hadn't heard of the gal or the other, the other YouTube guy. In any case, not surprising, because all these people can really do is just start calling names, and they can't argue because they have nothing to back it up except their own emotion and four-letter words. So it, you know, the proper way for him to, you know, if someone does that to you, the proper way to handle it is to not resent them back. that's the proper way. And there's real magic. You know, you may want to believe this or not, but there's real magic that happens if you don't, if someone does something, slights you somehow or tries to insult you, and you don't insult, you don't take the bait, because you actually become insulted when you resent. And if you don't resent, then you can't be insulted. You know, and the other, the flip side of that is don't put people on a pedestal. I don't care who they are. Do not put people on pedestals. It's a terrible mistake. That's the flip side of it. To put someone on a pedestal, and then, you know, inevitably, if you do that, they're going to fail you somehow. And, you know, you end up with a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde type of thing that happens sometimes. So the best thing to do is when these people, if you're ever confronted directly with one of them and they start, or anybody, it could be a friend or a relative or whoever, or a perfect stranger, they start berating you, don't resent them. Is the you know, and that is the key, regardless of whether you say something back or not. That's really the key, is to, you know, turn the other cheek doesn't mean to just sit there and, you know, take it while somebody slaps you or whatever. You can slap back, but you do it without resentment. You do it because, you know, resentment ruins, you know, then you end up with the wrong kind of energy in order to fight back. And once you've done that, then you've descended into the mud with them. And it's not so much about the, you know, people think it's about the words or your arguments, how you argue back, when it's really the energy that you're using to you know, to sort of fight or not fight back with. It's the, you know, they're looking for the resentment reaction. And that's not so much, you know, I believe that's more of a spiritual thing that happens. So, in any case, if you handle these people right, then, you know, even if, you know, of course there's a big group of them, I'm sure there was a group of them around. If you handle it right, you know, it may seem like they're getting away with it in the moment, but soon, you know, it bites them back. You can't do that. You know, you can't have resentment in a vacuum. You know, it, you know, the best way I can describe it, you know, let's say, you know, put it in terms of, you know, you're driving down a highway and you see someone cutting you, you know, someone cuts you off or they're rude or they flip you the bird or whatever it is. And you think, well, where's the policeman at when people are, you know, they're cutting, speeding and cutting people off or whatever. You know, and you get all upset with the person that does that. Well, it's best not to. You know, they can do whatever it is they do. They can, you know, I get cut off fairly often. I'll get cut off for, I see somebody speeding or doing something that they really, you know, that's putting other people at danger. But all I have to realize is that there is a perfect justice. Whether it may seem like there isn't, but there is justice. They do, you know, you don't do these, you don't do things like that and get away with it. You know, so, but, you know, I don't have, you know, when some, I don't have to see it, in other words. But rest assured, I know that there, you know, that justice is served. And, but I don't have to be the one that serves it, or that, and I don't have to see it being served. But I know that when there's somebody like that, you know, I'm not going to make the mistake of resenting them. They're going to have to end up answering for it. And it's not just in some, you know, point when they die or whatever. You answer for it here and now, sooner or later. You know, if you look at these people's lives, you know, the typical social justice warrior life, guarantee you're going to see all kinds of turmoil. There's all sorts of drama going on. You know, come back in a year, come back in 2 years, come back in 5 years and see how it's going for them. Probably not so well. So, but if you handle it right, if you can handle those, you know, any situation, but if you can handle the situation by not putting people on a pedestal and not resenting them, then that sort of forces it back on them. And they don't give them the reaction that they're looking for. And it'll have an effect, and I don't need to see the effect. I know that the effect happens. You know, kind of sort of like a slide rule almost, you know, you do this and you know, this and this other thing's going to happen. It's going to, you know, you're going to pay the price one way or the other, so, you know, by, you know, as you sow, so shall you reap, basically. So, but I don't need to see them reap. But rest assured, I know that as you sow, so shall you reap. And that's just a fact of existence. That's the way it works if you're a human being. You know, a human being is the only creature that really thinks of morals. You know, and struggles with what is right and what is wrong. You know, your cow doesn't struggle with that. Dog doesn't struggle with that. A dolphin doesn't struggle with right and wrong. You can take, you know, find some rhesus monkey or whatever. Monkey doesn't, it doesn't struggle with right and wrong at all. Human beings are the only creature that struggle with right and wrong. And, so, anyway, there's going to be more and more of this, and we may, I don't know, it's possible we'll end up in a civil war at some point. That is a strong possibility, but on the other hand, these people are beginning to sort of turn on each other. If you don't give them the reaction that they're looking for, you know, the kind of the resentful reaction they're looking for, don't give that to them, then they start turning on each other. And, you know, that's an inevitable thing, because it has to go somewhere. Resentment cannot exist in a vacuum. It can't continue to exist. It has to be, the energy has to be renewed one way or another. Unless, you know, because if you were just, you know, kind of alone, you know, let's say you were alone on a desert, you know, on an island, on a deserted island, or you were alone somewhere, it's either going to drive you insane, or on the flip side of that, some people will come out of an experience like that more sane. And sort of facing, willing, you know, kind of willing to face reality at that point. So, in other words, this, you know, hypnosis, we're all hypnotized to one degree or another. Hypnosis has a tendency, if it's left alone, it has a tendency to wear off. And, which you can't argue with these people. You know, and even if you point facts out, like, you know, I've stopped pretty much talking any kind of politics with my parents, but they kind of, you know, brought up, oh, well, you know, they're going to take this away or take that away, you know, for socially, you know, they're talking about, well, they're going to take the, you know, end this social program or end that or whatever. And I didn't really engage in that, but in that discussion, but I did say that, you know, the country is, you know, we're kind of teetering on bankruptcy, and it could easily get to the point where we can't afford the interest on all of the loans that the federal government has. And we're rapidly approaching that point, and that is, you know, when that happens, you know, you look at countries where that's happened, and you've got some sort of a mess. And parents, my parents, especially my mother, didn't really want to see that, you know, because I, you know, you could put it in terms of, well, look, you know, is it a good idea for a family to do that? You know, have all the credit cards and max them out, and is it a good idea for that? Well, no. Well, then why is it a good idea? You scale it up to the government. Why is it such a good idea to do that? Well, these people have to have some way. They've got to have something, somebody to give them something, or the government's got to be there, or whatever. And of course, the only power behind the argument is, and you know, kind of an emotional feeling. And I'm sorry, but I just not that emotional. You know, I was thinking about that the other day. I really have never been that emotional. You know, I think maybe I was more emotional when I was a kid, but I think in large part I've had emotions that were just missing. And as I've gotten older, emotions have gotten, you know, what emotions that I have had are just less and less and less. And so, you know, you're better off without them. You really are. But much better off with, you know, because people think that our emotions is what makes them human. No, emotions make you an animal. I'm sorry. Hate to be mean. But that's the reality. Your emotions make you into an animal. And, you know, feeling sorry for this, or, you know, when you're doing all that, you're feeling all these emotions and you're thinking in your own mind, oh, I'm so noble, I feel, you know, feel sorry for this or feel sorry for that. You're just playing, you're playing with a delusion. You know, the delusions of grandeur, as if you were God and you could come out of heaven and, you know, kind of solve these problems because you feel so much or whatever. And it's all just lies. You're lying to yourself. Emotions are basically, they're kind of lies. So... better off without them. You really are better, much better off without them. So I think there's some basic ones that are sort of simple or whatever, but of course human beings end up really perverting them, and then of course we use them for that which is not intended. The purpose was never intended for how we kind of amplify them and use them, and we end up paying the price in the form of all kinds of drama, sickness, diseases. I think a lot of, probably 95% of diseases are kind of based on the fact that, you know, people have kind of over-amplified their emotions. So... anyway, better be cutting this off before it gets too long. Hope everyone has a great 4th of July weekend, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.